May only the truth be spoken and only the truth heard. Amen. Good morning. My name is Liz Kiesmatt Walsh, and I use they/them pronouns. Although I currently live on my family's farm near Lindsay, I grew up here at Redeemer. This is the church that is and will always be my home parish when I'm in this city. Growing up here, I never thought that there was anything different or unusual about being part of the LGBT community. One of the other kids in my Sunday school class had two moms, and my five-year-old mind didn't think that there was anything unusual about this. The first time someone came out to me, I was kind of surprised and taken aback because I didn't understand why it was a big deal. When we moved out of the city, we started going to a much more conservative church for a few years. And while I was there, I realized what a unique and special place this church is. How amazing it is that this has been an affirming community for so long. How amazing it is that here, as I hope it shall one day be with the rest of the world, being part of the queer community is just part of the norm. It's part of who this community is. This has always been a church that when I come back to, I feel like I can just be myself, fully, openly, and truly. So, as a queer trans Redeemer kid, it's an honor to be asked to be here this morning. So thank you for welcoming me home. I just want to make a quick note that through the sermon, I'll be using queer and LGBT as an umbrella term for the whole LGBTQIA two-spirit community. And I will also be using the word cis or cisgender, which means not part of the trans community. It means that you identify with the gender you were assigned at birth. As queer folks, we don't usually like Paul very much. He's been used against us way too many times. We've been told too many times, over and over again, that we aren't welcome in Christian spaces because of Paul. Paul has been the one who has been used to push us out. But what would it look like if we reclaimed Paul today? If we listened to this letter to the Corinthians as if he was writing it to us and for us, this Sunday, Pride Sunday. What would it look like if, instead of hearing Paul as someone who's always against us, today we heard Paul as a friend? I mean, we're a community that knows what it's like to have obstacles put in our path. The world, and even more so the church, has been putting obstacles in our path for thousands of years, barring us from the church, from leadership, from marriage, from the right to exist as our true selves, telling us that if we fully want to participate in our places of worship, we have to hide a part of who we are. So is there another way to read Paul? A way where we acknowledge that he's our friend and not our enemy? Could it be that today is an acceptable time? Could Pride Sunday be a day of salvation? So let's try reading this text again. But this time, let's read it with a bit more of a Pride Sunday twist. At an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is an acceptable time. Now is a day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found in our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Through great endurance, the LGBT community, my community, has great endurance. Look at us. Look at what we've been through. Everywhere I look, my queer siblings are being rejected and beaten and disowned. I see the church still fighting about if we should have full rights in our places of worship. And yet, here we still are. We are still finding pride and joy and community in our queer identities. We are still here in the church. in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, and imprisonments. Almost every day, trans women and trans femme people of color are being beaten and killed. In 74 countries around the world, there are still laws against being gay. And in 11 of those countries, you can still be put to death. In riots, labors, and sleepless nights. I've lost count of how many sleepless nights I've had because of the heteronormativity and cisnormativity of the society we live in. Sleepless nights in fear after and before coming out to people I love. Sleepless nights battling my own internalized homophobia and transphobia. Hunger. We are hungry. We are hungry for acceptance. We are hungry for love, hungry for equal rights. We are hungry for home, and we are literally hungry. Queer and trans youth are over 100% more likely to experience homelessness than cis and straight youth are. They are literally hungry for a full stomach and a safe, loving home. By purity, knowledge, and patience, we're a community that knows how to be patient. We know how to be patient from our long wait for marriage equality, a wait that still isn't over for so many churches and so many countries. We know how to be patient from waiting until it's a safe place and time to come out. We know how to be patient from waiting for hormones and surgeries to help us alleviate dysphoria. We know how to be patient as we continue to wait for a day when we are fully equal members of this society. Kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love. Love. That's what this community is all about. Love. The right to love who you love freely and equally. The right to love yourself and be true to yourself. We are a community full of love. A lot of the most important people in my life are part of a community of LGBT Christians called Generous Space. And the Generous Space community is truly a community full of love. We are a community that holds each other in love. When someone gets an email from a grandparent who isn't affirming of their trans identity while at a Generous Space retreat, this community rallies around them and upholds them, gets them back out dancing when their favorite song comes on, and has an epic non-binary sleepover so that they're not alone that night. We are a community that is a family to each other because so many families don't accept us for who we truly are. We are a community that comes out in force when one of us is preaching at a Pride Sunday service and is really, really nervous. By truthful speech and the power of God, with weapons of justice for the right hand and for the left. We are fighting for justice for all people. And we know that we will win this fight through love, not hate. We will win this fight by existing, by marching today and being unapologetically ourselves. We are fighting to learn how to live together, all of us, as a community where everyone's identity is seen as valid and good. As a very wise Palestinian woman I met a few weeks ago said, we are working here to transform enemies into friends. In honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as imposters and yet we are true. Last week, someone posted in a trans Facebook group that I help run, asking, does anyone else here feel like they're imposters in not trans spaces? Within an hour, there were over 100 responses of trans folks feeling like they didn't fit into non-trans spaces, mostly because we are told that we don't fit. When I walk into a church that I don't know as a fact is affirming, I immediately feel like an imposter, like I don't belong there. And yet, we are true. We are true to ourselves. We stand up and say, no, I do belong here. I was on a Mennonite school program last year where a handful of the other students didn't seem to think that I fit in that community because of my queerness. But I stayed true. Although I often did feel like I didn't fit because it was such a cis straight place, I stood up and I said, no, I belong here. As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and see, we are alive. We are dying. This community is literally dying. Homophobia and transphobia is literally killing us. And yet, look around you today. Look at all the life in this room, in this church. Look at Chris Ambidge, giving so much life to this church through his fearless, fearless advocacy for the LGBT community. Listen to the music and remember John Campbell and the years of life and joy he brought to this church through his music. Look at Heather and Karen and the beautiful life that they bring to this church through their love for each other and their love for this community. We are alive. We're fighting shoulder to shoulder and heart to heart. As punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, we are sorrowful and we mourn. We mourn for those who we have lost to the evil that is homophobia and transphobia. We mourn for Lila Elkhorn, a trans teen who died by suicide when her parents forced her to go to conversion therapy. We mourn for Naomi and Krista and Vicky and Tanya and Celine and Felicia and Zakria and Amaya and Sasha, all trans women who have been killed, and that's just this year. We mourn for the victims of the massacre at the Pulse nightclub. And yet, somehow through it all, we rejoice. We dance harder in memory of those who died at Pulse. We marched proud and strong in the trans march on Friday in honor of Lila and all the other trans folk who have died of suicide, in honor of all the trans women of color who have been beaten and killed. We rejoice that so many of us are still alive and still fighting. We rejoice that we have spaces where we can let our colors shine, where we can be ourselves. Look around this weekend, walk down to Church Street. Through the rain even, we still rejoice. As poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Making many rich. The richness of the lives of this community spills out into the rest of the world. The richness of Chris and John and Heather and Karen and so many others spill out into this church, making this church a richer place. The richness of the love of the Generous Space community spills out into communities all across the country, making this country a better place. This community is a blessing to the world. I have spoken frankly to you, Torontonians. Our heart is open wide to you. There is no restriction in our afflictions, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord.